Well, it's that time of year again when everyone is talking about Christmas, right, Ruben?
Absolutely, Andre. And it's also that time of year when many of you may have questions about Christmas. And if you have the same questions as some of those that have been asked, you've come to the right place. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Andre Hastick, and Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to this Christmas edition of Bible Help Desk.
If you have any questions that you'd like to see answered on a future program, you can call in with your questions and leave us a voicemail, or you can just send us a text. And you can also reach us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or perhaps even on our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. And if possible, please leave us your email address so we can contact you back. So, Ruben, who's our first guest for today?
I'm excited to introduce Dr. Oleg Kostyuk. Many of you may recognize him as the co-host of the series Revolutionary on Hope Channel, and he also has a PhD in New Testament, and he is currently Assistant Professor of Religion at Advent Health University in Orlando, Florida. Dr. Oleg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a privilege.
Yes, and joining him today, we also have Dr. Heather Cruz, who also is no stranger here to Bible Help Desk. And Dr. Cruz is the lead pastor of the Courthouse Road Church in Richmond, Virginia. And she enjoys researching how we can deepen our relationship with God through di spiritual disciplines like prayer and studying the Bible. Dr. Cruz, welcome again.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, before we jump into some of the questions, I want to share a Bible verse from the book of Luke. Seeing that it is our Christmas program, I want to read Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." As we reflect on this Christmas season, we may remember what Jesus truly means. He is that Messiah and he is our Savior, and we can truly rejoice during this Christmas season because of that. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we jump into your word and as we learn more about the Christmas season and of your birth and of you just coming to save us, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be here with us as we answer these questions and as we learn more. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that. Well, let us begin with jumping into some of our questions here today. We received this question, simple, straight to the point. Is it wrong to say Xmas instead of Christmas? Dr. Cruz, what insight can you bring here from the Word of God on that question? Is it wrong to say Xmas instead of Christmas?
Isn't that a great question? I hear in this question the desire to keep Christ, that child, in the middle of Christmas. Now, I would start by saying the Xmas can actually keep Christ in the middle of Christmas if you're Greek. Let me explain. The chi, or the first letter in the Greek word for Christ, looks like an X. In our language, we would just create an X in English. And this was actually in the early days of the Christian church. Christians used the letter X as a secret symbol to indicate their membership in the churches to others. So it's almost like you've become a secret agent when you say Xmas. But I understand in this question that that knowledge may not be there, that they are desiring to keep Christ in the middle of it. And Christmas is so much more than just the word that we write out. Keeping Christ in the middle of Christmas also means how do we build bridges and how do we connect with people? And the verse that comes to my mind that describes connecting with people and sharing Christ. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. So if someone says to you, Merry Xmas, say Merry Christmas and use it as an opportunity to have a conversation about Christ. You don't have to share with them that you prefer to keep Christ in Christmas, because just by the spirit and the way you live your Christianity, you can keep him as the heart of Christmas.
All right. Well, that's some beautiful counsel there. Appreciate that. Dr. Kostyuk, anything else you'd like to share with us on this question from the Bible?
Yeah. So even the word, even the sign itself, X, it also resembles the cross. So for me, it's just another way of saying, you know what? We remember Christmas, the birth of Jesus, but we also are reminded about the next step, Jesus' death and his resurrection.
That is awesome. Well, you know, as I'm hearing, just knowing that background context matters, and not everybody has that context. So when you're dealing with people who do not, you can meet them where they are, as you're saying, Dr. Cruz, especially, and sharing your heart as a Christian. I appreciate that. And thank you again for the bigger insight here from the both of you. Thank you.
Well, Andre, let's jump into our next question that came to us via text. And the question says, is Jesus Joseph's biological father? How is Jesus connected to David through Joseph or Mary? Would you be so kind to explain so I can help my son? Dr. Cruz, here we have someone who is asking about Jesus and Joseph. You know, if you've studied the Bible, you've dived into this, and it's kind of a little bit up in the air. How did this all work? And we have someone who wants to be able to explain this to their son. What kind of counsel can we give them?
Well, the first place I would head is straight to the Bible. I want you to hear the words of Matthew 1, verse 22. And this is a prophecy about this child. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is not just any baby, not a baby born of human desire or of what we know as where our children come from. But this is a divine baby that we know was born to a woman who was a virgin. And so here, when we look at Joseph, it's like the biology we set aside, because this was a child that Mary carried, that she was with before she became married and knew Joseph. But this is Jesus, a baby who is born of a miracle to show us that God is with us. A baby that fulfilled prophecy. And I could do a whole study on just the identifying marks of prophecy that point out that this isn't just any baby. And so while I see in this question a father who's willing to sit down with his son and create space for him to ask questions, the heart of this is that Joseph was Jesus's earthly father, but this was a baby unlike any other.
Hmm. Wow, that's so impactful, because there is, like you said, so much prophecy in there. And as you said, you could do a whole probably more time in that. And just to see the help that this father wants to give to their son is so, so important. Dr. Oleg, what can we add to this question here about Joseph and Jesus? We do know it's not a biological thing here, but there is some spiritual implications. What can we add?
Yeah. So according to Christian tradition, what we see, and according to the Bible, Jesus was born of Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus. So this is one. But second, what is extremely important, Joseph was the one who was taking care of this divine baby. And that is very important, because if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Joseph was the one who received the dream to go out in, to go to Egypt, then come back from Egypt, then go to Nazareth. And it's all the provision of God was actually worked through the hands and legs of Joseph. So that's why we see that Joseph took a very important role in preserving the life of the Messiah, the life of the Savior also.
Wow. So just very quickly to follow up, would it be safe to say that Joseph was the one who passed on that inheritance of the lineage, if you will, to Jesus, though we do know that, you understand?
Exactly. And that's why, that is exactly true, because the genealogy itself will testify about it. Because when we look at the genealogy in Matthew and look, we will see it, how it goes through Joseph as well. Joseph is mentioned there. So it's a privilege. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege. And what we see, it's in that world, in that tradition, what the father who takes care of a child is the father, no matter whether it's father, no matter whether it's a father or a father who like father-in-law biological. Or anybody else, they can trace. And biological father or not biological father, it's they would still trace their genealogy through that father who takes care of the baby.
Thank you so much for pointing that out. They still trace it through there. And we do see, as both of you have mentioned, that is so important that we see this and that we see that there is continuation through this genealogy. Hopefully we've been able to help this view of ours get through that conversation with their son. Thanks again for those answers.
Well, Ruben, you know, we have another question here that I want to jump into. And it reads, how come the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew and Luke contradict each other in many places? So that's a really good question here, Dr. Acostio. Perhaps you can lead us maybe to where we can find the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, and maybe try to explain where you think this person may be coming from and give us some guidance. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. No, that is a great question. So first, when we look at there are two genealogies of Jesus, one in Matthew 1, second one is in Luke chapter 3. So Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3. In Matthew 1, we see the genealogy of Jesus that goes back all the way to through David, another king, and there's multiple kings, and then it goes to Abraham. So the last one is Abraham. When we look at the genealogy of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, it's interesting that this genealogy is mentioned after Jesus was baptized. So it testifies something about his ministry. And in this genealogy, so if this is, if Matthew's genealogy traces to the kingly to testify that Jesus is the king, in Luke chapter 3, we see that Jesus is actually the son of God. So this is what is very important when we read the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. We see that the main point is not only facts, but also theology. What is the greatest meaning? Number one, Jesus is the king. Number two, Jesus is the son of God. And of course, there's another explanation that the genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew, it's through Joseph's line, and genealogy in the Gospel of Luke through Mary's line. In any case, what we see is the greatest message. Jesus is the king and Jesus is the son of God.
Two powerful and important points. And understanding all the scripture properly. So thank you for bringing that to light. Dr. Cruz, is there additional insight that we can gain about these two different genealogies we see here in these two Gospels, Matthew and Luke?
Yes, I would like to build on what my colleague was saying and take you to John 1, verse 14. There it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And this builds on what my colleague was sharing, because yes, we have these two different genealogies and they're written to two different audiences, because here God is seeking to reveal his grace and his truth. And the power of hearing his story, his genealogy in two different recordings here in the Bible, there's two audiences that distinctly need to hear the message in a way that they can hear it. And by Jesus becoming God incarnate on this earth, he walked, he showed us what it was like to be fully human and fully divine, and how to live in complete dependence on his heavenly Father. And it shows that God strives to communicate who he is and will go to great lengths to do that. And in reading those two genealogies and the different details that are included, I see that there may be some details that are different because they're tracing a different parent, but I hear the same message: God with us, Emmanuel, the God who chooses to communicate himself to us, his children.
So beautiful. And I love that you're saying, as these two writers having two different audiences, package the truth in a way that will be most effective for that audience. So that we all can accept Jesus as he is, both King, Lord, Son of God, and coming Savior. Thank you so much for those insights here today. Ruben, what do we have next?
Well, listen, right before we go to break, I want to remind our guests of our Bible studies that are available. You know, the Bible is a very fascinating read, and it can open up a lot of questions because the more in depth you go, and we want to provide answers, hopefully, that you can dive in into and find more about the Bible. And make sure you visit us at hopebiblestudy.org. There you'll have free Bible studies available to you so you can dive more into God's Word. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
I'm Kenya Reyes from the Bible Help Desk Show. Weekly, we get to dive into the Word of God and see how He transformed so many lives in the past. But we know that He continues transforming lives today. If your life has been impacted by the power of God, we would love to hear your story. Give us a call at 833-BIBLE-HD, or you can email us at BibleHelpDesk@HopeTV.org.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. You're free to text us your questions, and also you can call us and leave us a voicemail. And of course, again, you can reach us on social media on Facebook and Instagram or on our website, hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. Today, our panelists helping to answer your questions are Dr. Heather Cruz and Dr. Oleg Kostyuk. Ruben, I know we have another question that's just waiting for us. What is it, my friend?
Yes, we do. We have been going into some great questions here on this Christmas edition of Bible Help Desk. And this fourth question continues with the line we've been going on. And the question says, I would like to know more about Joseph. We don't hear anything about him. What was his ministry? What happened to him? And how did he die? Dr. Cruz, here we have a question about Joseph, which I myself have wondered myself. What has happened to Joseph? You know, we hear him at the beginning of the story of Jesus, and then he kind of just fades into the background.
He's an intriguing character because this is the one who is entrusted with being Jesus's earthly father to bandage up his knee when it's scraped to be with him. And there's a lot we don't know about him. So let me tell you what we do know. We do have a description of him in Matthew 1 that gives me great hope and it reveals his character to me. It's Matthew 1 verse 20. But after he had considered this, talking about Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What we do know about Joseph is he responds to this dream, recognizing it's from God, because we know he gets up and he takes Mary as his wife. We know that Joseph takes the family to Bethlehem because he was being taxed and he takes them with him. We know Joseph takes the family to Egypt when the angel directs him to. And so I see Joseph being willing to take divine direction and to follow what God is asking him to do. We know he took his family to Nazareth where he would see them as being safe. And we know that he was alive when Jesus was at the temple at the age of 12. And that's the last we know of him. But I see that the Bible shares what we need to know for salvation, and it lets us know in each of these instances the depth of the character that Joseph has to have this important role.
Wow, that's so important to understand that even though he kind of faded in the background in the Bible's narrative, he still has this impact. Dr. Oleg, what else can we add to this great explanation that Dr. Cruz gave us?
Yeah, it's just the second half of the question is just, do we know anything about how he died? So we don't know anything about how he died, but we do know that he probably died before Jesus was crucified. So that is basically what we know about Joseph. But he's a great character. He's a great character who was entrusted with the greatest task.
Yeah, and we see the impact he made on Jesus' life, even as you said, even after he has passed, that impact that Joseph had.
He was a carpenter. He was the one who worked with a carpenter, a builder. He was the one who helped Jesus to learn a lot about how to build things. also. Absolutely. And rebuild lives, rebuild people's lives.
Wow. The impact of a parent. So, so important. Thank you so much for answering, clearing a little bit of that up of Joseph's life. So, Andre, what do we have next?
Yes, I'm just enjoying these Christmas, themed type of questions here. We have another one, and it reads, is any significance to the three gifts that the wise men gave Jesus? Dr. Kostyuk, many people review the story of Jesus, especially his birth around the Christmas season, and we do hear a lot about the wise men and their gifts. Is there any significance that we can draw from the Word of God regarding these gifts that will help us appreciate the story all the more?
Yeah. So traditionally, we think about three wise men that are traveling all the way from the East. But the Bible doesn't say that there were three magi or three wise men. What we do know that there were three gifts, maybe five wise men, maybe more. We don't know. But it's recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these are very important gifts. Why they're important? Because they have a very important significance, meaning. What is gold for? Gold is used for kings. Because if you go to a very important person, what do you bring? You bring one of the most important gifts, gold. So that is, we usually say in Christian tradition, what we say this is something that testifies about Jesus' kingly ministry. King, he's the king. And that's why in the Gospel of Matthew, where is the king of the Jews supposed to be born? This is the question that these wise men asked the King Herod. So Jesus is king because he's given gold. Then we also read about frankincense. What was frankincense used for? It was used in temples. So whenever you pray, you pour some frankincense, and then when it burns, you see this little smoke to heaven. So when the smoke goes up to heaven, it's almost like a sacrifice that is given to God. So that's why it's a priestly gift. So Jesus is a king, he is a priest. And then the last one, myrrh. What is myrrh used for? It is used to embalm a dead body. So what it's almost like a gift that testifies about the future destiny of Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, ultimately for Christians. So that's why when we see gold, king, frankincense, he is a priest. And then myrrh, he is the one who is destined to die to save the universe.
Wow, that is just so powerful. You know, even today when we give gifts and thinking, I think a lot of people spent some time and even money on choosing the perfect gift, as it were, for an individual. But what that usually means is they think about whoever they're giving the gift to first. And what you're saying is these wise men came knowing who they were coming to come and see and to worship, and they brought gifts according to the person of Jesus and all that he represented. What a powerful insight. I appreciate that. Dr. Cruz, is there anything else you'd like to add to this already amazing answer?
There's so much depth and meaning to these gifts that were brought. And it's like the original hostess gift. When someone invites you over for the holidays, you may say, so what can I bring? And we choose something that will reflect them, that will take them, that will care for the hostess of what we know of them. And what I see of each of these three gifts with inside of this deep meaning is also resources, because we know what's going to happen is they're going to have to flee. And here they have the resources to be able to economically afford this so that the Christ child could grow up in a safe place and that his family is cared for. So not only do I see those meanings that Dr. Oleg mentioned, I also see, again, God's hand of protection over his son as he comes to be Emmanuel, God with us.
Wow, that again is very powerful. We think of Jesus being born in such humble beginnings in a manger, right? But yet, as you're saying, God's provision was with him even there at the very beginning for him to be able to do exactly as prophecy would predict. That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that insight as well. Reuben, do we have any more questions for today, my friend?
Absolutely. We have another question here that has come in, and it's very basic, and it just asks, was the Star of Bethlehem an actual star? Dr. Oleg, here we have a straightforward question. Someone is asking about the star over the manger where Jesus was born. Was this an actual star?
So it's a question that actually borderlines physics and astronomy and many other disciplines. So this is a very good question, of course. So what we see in the scripture that it's actually in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And it is also known to us that they first saw the star and then started their journey. So because they were observing stars and they saw something that was unusual. But then also what we read in the Gospel of Luke, what is very interesting, we see that there was also angels. We actually sing that song during Christmas, joy, joy to the Lord, the King was born, and the angels are singing and everybody else is singing. So they're singing, rejoice. And because we see the Magi, or the people of knowledge, the wise men, coming, looking at the star and observing the stars and coming to see Jesus. And then we see shepherds on the fields, and they also see some sort of a star, the company of angels singing songs and coming to them and saying, you know what, go to the manger because something incredible is happening there. They don't care about the star, but what they do care about is this incredible appearance of the angels. So what we see in this star, we see that God is speaking to the wise man through astronomy or whatever that may be, through the stars and physics and chemistry. And then we see also these shepherds who God speaks to through angels and through miracles. So what I see in the star, I see this great hope that actually whenever you look in the sky, whenever you see a star, just remember Jesus. Just as when you eat, remember the Holy Communion with Jesus. Just as when you walk, remember the walk with Jesus. So that is the greatest hope. Whenever I look in the star in the sky now, I remember the one who was born. And I'm always remember. So that's why I think it's a message of encouragement also for
Absolutely.
All.
Thank you so much for that. Just talking about the star. Dr. Cruz, very quickly, to wrap up this question, what else would you like to add about this star?
The Magi come and they say, where is he? We've seen his star rise in the east. Where is the King of the Jews? And this star pointed them to Jesus. And the angel chorus that sang to the shepherds, the point of this star was to let people know Jesus was here. And it's that message of hope. The child is born. Go and find where he is. It makes a difference. It is worth the hunt and the search to find this child. And so I do echo my colleague's statement. This is a message of hope.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank both of you for answering these questions on Christmas. And we want to thank our viewers for being with us today. Hopefully all of you have a very Merry Christmas and enjoy the season. And don't forget to send us your questions so we can answer those for you. Thanks again for joining us, and you may enjoy the holidays. Take care.